The following message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
I love people, and I love sharing with people what I do. I think I have the most exciting job in the world. I tell that to everybody. Y'all should be jealous of what I do. And I want to thank Pastor Joshua and Jeanette for allowing me to be in their home and coming here. And you guys, I was excited to meet you. I think you're a very multicultural group, and that's just right where my heart is. And so I have a little time to share with you this morning, and I hope that you'll open your ears real big. And sometimes I get real excited and I talk really fast, so I'll try not to, but I get excited about what the Lord's doing. And I'm on a journey right now, and it's a time of change. I think the Lord is getting ready to bring change to the church, because he's getting ready for his bride to become more beautiful and more used by him than ever before. And that's exciting too. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But I think if we just wait in his presence, we're going to be just absolutely amazed and surprised what's in front of us. And before I start the word, I just want to share for a moment, Mrs. Johnian, or I don't know if you call yourself brothers or sisters or Mona or whatever, but this wonderful lady, I just have to share this morning. It was interesting. If I had my journal here with me, you could see it. The Lord gave me a word this morning to remind me about time and not to worry about time, that it was in his hands. And I have that 24 hours of the day, we measure it, but God, you know, we should not measure, trust him to take care of time. And I was so excited about the word that she had. I felt like the Lord wanted me to speak to you and myself. That what a confirming word for me this was. And he wanted the church to know that this word was from God. Absolutely. Amen. Don't doubt it today. So whatever's happened in your life, the Lord can redeem it. He absolutely can take care of it. Don't worry. Give the mistakes to him. And from today on, it's a new day. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yay, God. Hallelujah. And I love that about him. So let me just share a little bit with you. And I'm assuming I'll just point to this wonderful gentleman. The red dot there is actually where I live. I'm amazed. Lots of times people don't really know geography really well, but that red dot is right where I live in that little window. Let's go to the next one. And I live within, do you know in this room about the 1040 window? Anybody know? A few. Okay, a few of you. Well, what it is really, it's on the 40th parallel and the 10th parallel. Within that window is where, and you can see Greece is right within that window. This is our home. This is our base of operations. I have lived there for 32 years. I do not live in America. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, but I love to tell people all the time it's not true, but I like to say it anyway. I'm only 39 forever, but I've been there 32, amen. I've been there 32 years, and the Lord sent me there, and I believe I'm called to be a field-based missionary. All the rest of you, if you're here, you're still missionaries. When the Lord said go into all the world, he didn't just say just the missionaries, but we're all called to be missionaries. I just happen to live in a different location than you do. And you could go to the Belks and be a missionary. You have Belks here? Okay, you could be a missionary at Belk's or Dillard's, you know, or at the gas station. I just happen to be one at the Alpha Vita grocery store in Athens, Greece. So, and wherever I'm at. But I wanted you to see, within this window, it's a very critical area. Actually, in this smaller box, it's really, we're looking at a place where it's all going to wind up very soon. This window stretches between Africa and Asia. My job is to share with you today. The Lord has challenged me to share with those congregations that will listen what's going on there, to motivate you in prayer for this region. We're reaching out of Europe into this window here. 3.1 billion people, or 95% of the still unreached, I mean, that's a big number, 95% of the still unreached people groups are located in this window that is called the 1040 window. Missiologists and church groups are reaching in there like never before, but they still estimate this is the hardest region in the world, and 95% of the people that do not know about the Lord live in there. Of those in this window, two-thirds of them, think of that, still, 2 billion people have never heard of Jesus, or at least they have never heard of him as Savior. They know the name Isa, perhaps, in Islam, or they may have heard of him in other lands where worship Buddha and different religions, but they have never heard that he is the Savior of the world. They've never received a tract. They've never seen a Christian television program by satellite. Still approximately 2 billion people. The other interesting thing in this window, a lot of people don't realize, it is the birthplace of the world's 5 major religions. And within this window also, 7 of the world's, we no longer use the word mega cities, we now use the word meta cities. 7 largest meta cities are within this window. I mean, that's way beyond a mega city. So that lets you know about what's happening. Just go real quickly, 85% of the poorest of the poor live in this window. That's people that live on less than a dollar a day. That's almost incomprehensible to us in the West. And I know we have poor, but we need, but my task is to challenge you to understand we may have poverty, but there's a lot of more poverty out there in the world too. Going to the next one, 95% of missions monies and resources go to areas that there is already outside of this window an established or an emerging church. And only 5% of mission money goes to areas where there is still yet no church. That's a troubling statistic. 90% of full-time Christian workers in the world live in countries that constitute only 10% of the population. I'm not saying today we don't need to have missionaries into those regions, because we do. Because God works in times and seasons. And we need to understand that, for example, there was one gentleman, and I can't remember his name today, I apologize, but for 32 years, he went to Moscow. He got permission for 32 years, and he stood in Red Square. God told him to go and pray on his vacation, and he prayed for the walls to come down. And we don't always understand the timing of God, and there was revival going in other areas of the world, but communism was strong. 32 years later, the walls begin to crumble down. So God works in times and seasons, because he does in our individual life too. Things that he's putting together, sometimes we think, Lord, why don't you help me? And he said, I am, but I'm working out everything else around you, because your life touches other lives. Amen. And if we would understand that, then we would see the beauty of this beautiful thing that God is working out, that our lives actually touch other people's lives. The interesting thing today, they estimate 20 to 25,000 people in the Sahara Desert region among Berber tribes and people. They are hearing through satellite TV. They're beginning to hear and understand that Jesus or Isa or whatever you want to call him, but he is the Lord, the Messiah. They're hearing about him and they're learning about him. And this is an amazing time. But still millions upon millions are unreached. And our job is to send those that would go, to pray those that would stay, to support through encouragement, to say, I'm there with you, to make people know that the Lord is getting ready to wind this thing up. Now, you know, he could come today, he could come tomorrow. God is outside of time. But I think he's going to come soon. But, you know, 100 years to God's like an instant, isn't it? I mean, it's just, think about that. You could have grandkids and they'd be alive 100 years from now. It's not really very long. And we need to get on God's timetable. The name of Jesus, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Yeah. Go to the next one. I'm here to tell you today of 1.6 billion Muslims in the world. Now, this is not a popular message, and I know that, but based where I am at, I am in a gateway city. We are the first entry point. We are, Greece is a gateway country out of the Middle East, out of North Africa. This is the first landing point for those that are trying to get into Europe. There are economic migrants, but there are also refugees. We are the first gateway city into Europe. And the Lord is telling us and challenging us there in Greece, and that those that live in this gateway city, that we need to reach these people that have never known Jesus as Messiah, as Lord and Savior. And many of you may know in Islam, and I'm focusing a little bit on that today because I don't have time to talk about the other religions that, you know, that the Lord allows me to speak into. But they know Jesus as a prophet, and he was a good prophet. And I have so much to share, and Pastor Joshua, if I wander a little bit, just forgive me, all right? But I was just actually in a service in Egypt not too long ago, and in a church there that is, it's absolutely amazing what God is doing among spirit-filled believers there. This past summer, 25,000 people came. They actually had an outdoor meeting in Egypt, just a little bit out in the desert. 25,000 people came to hear about Isa because they had read in the Quran that he was a good guy, that he's a good prophet. So I'm in church one night, and we're sitting there, and the pastor said to me, I know I've asked you to preach, but do you mind if you just be in service tonight? I feel like the Lord is doing something else. I said, no, that's fine. And he said, I feel like there shouldn't be translation tonight. So I'm sitting there in service, and suddenly I felt something very strange. I knew a spirit had come into the room that was not of God. And I looked around, and there were three women in the hijab, that were Muslims, fully dressed in Muslim dress. And they sit down in the service there with us. So, long story short, at the end of the service, the pastor comes to me and he says, do you mind if you wait just a few minutes? I want to speak to these three ladies that came into service. 4.5 hours later, that 15 minutes turned into 4.5 hours later, he came out. They had come to service that night. Now, I have to tell you, I've met people that have had dreams and visions. I even met one person that saw the Lord showed a picture to this person of a blonde-haired woman at the address of our church. And the Lord said, when you get to that country, go find that address and that woman. I mean, God has allowed me to see those things. So I believe in miracles. But that night, those women came to church because they had read about Jesus in the Quran, Isa in the Quran. They got saved. They came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Is that not amazing? And I think, you know, we limit God and we think he has to work in our defined ways, the way we tell him. But God can even use the Quran. Yeah. That's how big God is. Isn't he amazing? Yeah. They came hungry and looking. God is doing amazing things. So this is, we are here to declare to people that are unreached or people that walk in darkness. We're to declare the glorious light of the gospel, Jesus Christ. Amen. Go to the next one. Our ministry focuses where 25% of the population lives and 80% of the poorest of the poor in the world live there. And this is an interesting day of Muslim focus. It's a day when the strong man of Islam is raising his ugly head. He is declaring jihad against the world. And I am telling you what, there are demonic spirits that are declaring jihad against the church. But the Lord is declaring that we need to rise up and declare holy war. That we need to declare, great is the Lord God Almighty, he's the captain of the host of heaven, amen? Yeah. And God can call forth the holy angels to do battle, and he goes before us, and we need to remember that. And we need to let go of this spirit of fear. We're not children of the dark, are we? We're children of the light. And too often, I like to say this all the time, but I have to share this with you real quickly. I feel like too often we walk around this, like this.
I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
We kind of mumble. But the Lord wants us to walk around like this. Da da da! The glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're children of the day. I hope I'm not scaring all of you guys. I'm freaking you out. I'm sorry. I get a little excited about Jesus. But I think it's time for the glorious church of God to wake up and recognize who we are.
Yes.
Absolutely. We are not children of the dark. We are not defeated. We live and breathe the one that conquered death, hell, and the grave.
Yes.
And it's the time for us to declare that. Amen. Let's go to the next one. If we look at this box, all around it, it is people who need to hear so that they can believe. They need to receive the message of the kingdom of God. Many have never heard, and I can't repeat that enough, because the Lord says, go into all the world.
Yes.
Tell them, let them know. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men into me. Amen. Islam has come. It's burying its ugly face. But it's time for the church to recognize there is no more pressing issue right now than it seems for the world at large or for the church of God, for us to understand what is taking place within the walls of Islam. These are two Greek words, chronos and keros, two Greek words. Chronos is a word, it's like how you measure time. It's just measurements of time. We have chronometer in English. And it's just, I watched the little clock, but I love the word keros. It's time, talks about times and seasons. God works in times and seasons. There's a very powerful passage of scripture in 1 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 12, and it talks about the sons of Issachar understood the times and seasons. And God is wanting his church to wake up and understand this is a season that the church has never known or understood before. You and I believe God handpicked us to be alive today.
Amen.
I do. And with all my heart, I believe it. It's like there is a special calling and anointing on us. Are we more special than anybody else that ever lived? No, we're not. But I believe our assignment is extremely critical and special because God is raising up a very transgenerational time, a time where people that are over 100, a time that when people, and I'm joking, but no, I'm not really. Moses lived 120. Why not some of us? Amen. And people that are just little, for us to come together and work together and recognize God is the God that gives dreams. God is the God of dreams. And he's waiting for people that will embrace his dreams and we will be dream livers. Amen. That they will come alive in us, that we will believe the church is supposed to go forth and conquer it. And that means in your neighborhood, overseas, it means wherever you live.
Yep.
Absolutely. And we, so many people think, well, I'm just a housewife, or I just am an IT worker, or I'm just a policeman. No, you're not. That's what you do, but that's not who you are. You are a son and daughter of the living God. You have the image of the Lord God Almighty stamped on you. And he's calling you to be lights to a very, very dark time in this season. We need to understand the season in which we live. The alignment of nations. And I'm not going to take time. I know that you've studied last year some of the book of Revelation and the time we live in. And I'm not even going to begin to tell you that I totally understand it, because I don't. But I do know, I see, when I begin to see the alignment of nations taking place, when I begin to understand the movement of people, we begin to understand that God is beginning to stir the nations. He's bringing Syrians to Greece. He's bringing them there so that they can hear the message of the gospel of Christ. Amen. And believe it or not, I don't want to scare you, but I believe he is going to allow some of them to come to America. And you know why? It's not for us to be afraid, but for us to tell them who the Lord Jesus is. Amen. Amen. This isn't very popular, is it? Is this okay? But you can't, I want to share with you, because I've met many Christians that will tell me, there was a Muslim and they sat by me on the plane and I asked if I could be moved because I didn't want to, they might have a bomb on them. But I want to challenge you today, whether you're a Christian in Cairo or whether you're a Muslim in Cairo, A lot of those people are just ordinary people. Yes. They get up, they make breakfast, they go to work, they come home, they kiss their kids, and they go to sleep and they get up the next day. Most of these people are just ordinary people. Until everybody know what Arab Spring is? Do you guys know what the Arab Spring is? Yes? Raise your hand if you know what Arab Spring is. No? No? Okay. Thank you. There's just a few. All this war that's going on right now in the Middle East and North Africa, many people believe it started out as a religious war. It did not. There was a young man in a city in Tunisia called Sidi Bouzid. He was 24 years old. He could not find a job. He poured gasoline over himself and lit himself on fire, totally in protest because he couldn't find work. It did not begin because of religious things, but that has set alight all of this toppling of dictators and rulers throughout the Middle East, which is now what we call Arab Spring, because they were hoping for a change of political powers. But this rumblings and all these things are happening, and the movement of people groups has presented for the church the most awesome opportunity ever to be lights and to share and to help these people. Many of these people, particularly the Syrians that come out, whether they're Christian and they're Christians, this is an opportunity to love them. These people have lost everything. Many of these people are Muslims. They were just ordinary people. They've lost everything. And we need to be the love of Christ to them. Amen?
Amen.
We do. 2 weeks ago, I was in Turkey. I was with two missionaries. They're missionaries, but they're Syrians. They live in Damascus. And they stood there and they testified. They said, the Lord spoke to us and told us to stay. He told us not to go because so many hundreds of thousands are leaving the country. And he stood there, and the pastor, actually, I can't say his name because we're recording, but he's blind. And his wife pastors with him. They're just the cutest couple. He couldn't get around, so even when they went to the bathroom, she had to lead him into the bathroom. I met him in the bathroom so he could find his way. Just wonderful people, just down to earth. But he stood up and he shared. In our church, we've planted 6 different congregations throughout the city, and they travel around and visit them because the movement of Christians has become very, 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 troubling. And he said, we asked him, what can we pray for you for? And he said, we have 45 children from our congregations that their fathers have either been kidnapped or killed. And he said, can you pray for the children? Because he said, they even understand, they can tell you if a rocket's coming or a bomb. He said, we've never been around or seen children damaged and that they can look at you and can say, mommy, a rocket's coming. Daddy, let's hide. There's a bomb coming. Among all of those children that have been orphaned, that the church, the church families, rather than send them to an orphanage, they're taking care of these children. One of the children went into his bedroom one day. His father had been missing for a very long time. They didn't know where he was. He found his father, the body, opened the closet, and the body of his father was hanging in the closet without a head. And he said, our children are traumatized. We don't know what to do for our children. The problems are vast. The problems are huge. And so often we say, well, it's over there, or for a moment it touches us. But God is saying to his church, these are my creation. And my creation is hurting and killing one another. Will you get a heart? Not only for the Christians, but will you get a heart for the Muslims and all these other people that are walking on in darkness? Will you get a heart to pray and intercede for them? They will know my love. They alone can heal. Because only the love of God can heal. Amen?
Amen.
Only within the area of the world I live in, I constantly see in the Middle East that Christians against Christian. They fight because you're not my flavor of the day. But we need to be God's flavor, amen, at all times. God is looking for that. God is looking for people. The Lord is doing an amazing thing. Let me just tell you a few statistics. Morocco, in the early 1992 to 1995, maybe in the entire country, there were 100 believers. This past year, they baptized publicly. They declared, we're going to do it publicly. They went to the ocean, and they baptized several thousands through the summer that have declared they've decided to follow Jesus. Let me tell you something else that they have done. The believers that are nationals, they stood up in a recent meeting, and they said, the Western missionaries have taught us a spirit of fear. But we've decided we want you to stop. We're going to live for Jesus, and if he decides it's time for us to go, and we have to die a martyr's death, then we're going to do it. What an amazing thing. This is the hour that we're living in when people say, I count my life as nothing except for the sake of following Jesus. Do I want to die? No, I know none of you do either, but we need to begin to understand, if you're saved, you're already living eternally anyway. Yeah. Amen?
Right.
And if you die, you just, okay, you just walk through the door to the next room. Wow, and you get to see him face to face.
Come on.
Heaven's supposed to be that place we want to go. Amen.
Right.
But I want to live for him as much as I can till I get here. They estimate right now in Iran, there are over 1 million believers in the underground church.
Wow.
In the local church, by the way, I pastor in Athens, Greece. Women do not pastor, but rather than stand up and argue about it, I just got busy and did it. And sometimes we argue too much. You know, if the Lord's told you to do something, just humbly lay it before him and get up and do it, and he'll take care of the rest. Amen.
Amen.
Just get about God's business. We talk about too much stuff about down here. And he did. I have some Greek men that come to church, and they literally tell me, I still don't believe a woman should pastor, but I know the Lord's here, and I'm going to keep coming, and I respect you. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's all we need. Amen. Just give all the arguments to God. But in the local church where I pastor, we have an Iranian young girl that married a Dutch man. And she was walking down the streets of Tehran one day, and she was 18 years old. She had never seen a Bible, and a classmate had one hidden. She asked if she could see it. She was walking down the streets of Tehran, and the secret police caught her, found her, picked her up, put her in prison. Long story short, her family was able to pay her way out of prison, and they snuck her out of the country. But God's doing an amazing thing, and she talks and stays in contact with the underground church there. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of a man named Mehdi Dabaj, but he actually went to court. He was in prison, Mehdi Dabaj, and you can read his written testimony that he presented to the courts and said, I declare I stand before you as a witness of the Lord, and if you kill me, you're not going to kill me because I'm going to live forever. I mean, it's amazing. That's just in brief. You should read his testimony. But they later found his body in pieces all over the city. There are those that are giving their lives for the sake of the call. Even recently, last month, there were some of the underground pastors that they found dead in Iran. The Lord is saying, though, church, get a heart to intercede for your brothers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And your sisters. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
They are on the front lines, and the Lord wants us to know. Turkey, I was there 2 weeks ago, as I said, and until recently, there's been just a very small handful. Maybe there are 5,000 born-again believers in Turkey today, but they're beginning to rise up and declare, we're going to live for the Lord, and we're going to be his ambassadors and witnesses there. Even in Greece, which is a Greek Orthodox country, many people say, oh, that's a Christian country. It is a culturally Christian country. When you're born, you're declared Greek Orthodox. And there's reasons for that. I don't have time to go into all of that. But a heart-living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so few, they estimate maybe only 15,000 people in the entire country that really declare, I know Jesus, and he's my Lord, and I have a relationship with him. This is the hour for us to begin to understand and pray for those things. This country, these people that are there in this gateway country, we need you to intercede for us. I just got word three days ago, they're getting ready to move 5 to 15,000 refugees from Syria and Iran and Afghanistan 5 minutes from where our local church is. Now, there's a lot of people that say, we don't want it, don't do that, it's going to change our community. But what we need to begin to say is, okay, Lord, if it changes our community, it changes our community, but what can the church do?
Come on.
This should be the church's finest hour.
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
I was telling Pastor Joshua and Jeanette yesterday, even simple things. We don't understand. We think missionaries should only going to be preaching the gospel. But what about this? They were talking to me last week about women there that they didn't know how to go to the bathroom. You know, it's one thing for a male. They could go behind a tree. And so the church began to understand we need to rent porta potties so that we maintain the dignity of people. You see, I think Jesus would do that. Mm-hmm. Don't you?
Yeah.
This is our opportunity to begin to do things like that. Let me help you. Let me give you a piece of bread so your stomach's not growling. Now let me share the gospel, the good news. Amen. Let me help you find a way so you maintain your dignity and you can go to the bathroom. Now let me tell you that Jesus, he's the one that provided the money for that. Amen. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. This is a time for us to be the church like never before. One out of three Muslims that come to know the Lord, they do because of a vision or a dream that they've had. And then one out of three people, it's confirmed to them. Two out of three have an actual divine encounter. In Algeria, in North Africa right now, they estimate there are about 100,000 believers. Somebody asked another person that works there and said, we would like to meet some spirit-empowered believers in Algeria. And this guy was Anglican. And he said, well, honestly, they don't know those titles. And he said, you know, I don't really speak in tongues like you do. But he said, all of the believers in Algeria, if you explained it to them, they would all say they're spirit empowered. Because every one of those 100,000 have had a divine encounter. They've seen people raised from the dead. They've seen the blind eyes healed. They see disease healed. They expect it and believe it. This is what we're doing, folks. We're living the gospel. The Lord said, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Yes.
Amen. And we need to rise up and understand our God is at work. There is no dilemma for God, but we have taken on the world's attitude, and the Lord is saying to us, be challenged, become mighty men and women for God. That's who you are. We're the army of God.
Right.
I like that, don't you? Yeah, I'm one of those women. I want to take up my sword in the spirit. Amen. I want to slay the dragons in the name of the Lord, because that's who God says that we're to be. Amen. With my pink lipstick on. Hallelujah. This is that time and season. Let's go to the next one. That scripture was 1 Chronicles 12 and 32. People of God, we must understand this is the season. The Lord wants the world to experience the presence of God. We need to understand it. From what I understand, there's going to be a mosque built in your neighborhood not too long from now. But we need to understand we can walk around that ground and we can declare, Lord, we bind the strong man in the name of Jesus. Instead of going and saying, oh, you're horrible people, we don't like you, we need to begin to bind those places where the demon of Islam wants to stake his ground and declare, no, we take this back for the Lord, and help us, oh Lord, to be witnesses of the power of your love. The power of love sets us free.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I'm sure all of you are like me. There's been a lot of junk. There's a lot of junk you've gone through in your life. But when you encounter the power of his love, it sets us free. And the Lord wants us to display that to these people, the power of his love. There's an interesting thing. My son is Greek American. He was raised in Greece. And in Greece, there's mandatory military service. And so when it was time for him to go, and you have to pay, support your children when they're in the military. They don't do it for you there. Mrs. Johnian knows this. You have to totally support them. So my son came to me and he said, Mom, there's no way I can do this. So I'm going to go to the American military and ask if I can be in. And they have an agreement with the American military. If you serve there, Greece will accept it. So he went and they told him, no, you're not going to have to go anywhere. But of course, you know, came out of boot camp and he went straight to Fallujah and Ramadi, the hottest spots that there were. But while he was there, it was an interesting thing. He met so many people there in that country that asked him in Iraq, have you heard of this man named Isa? Now, my son doesn't live for the Lord. While he was there, he recognized the power of God that was walking in that land, and those people were actually looking, trying to meet Westerners to ask them, who is this God? They're looking for something. These people are not content with their life. I was actually thinking while he was there, I prayed and asked the Lord, are you going to let him come home safe? And I felt the Lord told me, don't worry, it's going to be okay. So while he was there, I also got to thinking, because there were so many children that parents would strap bombs on and send them in. And you've heard of many of them on the news. Even handicapped children, they would just strap a bomb on them and send them in to Baghdad in different areas and they would explode. And then, Lord, how in the world can a mother do this to a child? Well, if you know anything about Islam, and let me share this with you today, if you understand anything about it at all, they have no hope of going to heaven. Do you know the only way a Muslim is guaranteed they can go to paradise is if they die a martyr's death, if they kill the infidel. That is the only way. And for a woman, there is still no guarantee. Still no guarantee. And I thought, Lord, my son who's not living for you, he's there in Iraq. But I have you who can speak to me. So, and you told me he's going to come home, and I know he is. And he did. But those women, those mothers, I thought, Lord, if I had, now stop and think about this, if those of you that are mothers, if your child was not living for the Lord and you had no assurance and the only way you thought your child might make it to paradise, you might do that too, wouldn't you? If you really believed in eternity. When people are desperate and believe in there is something beyond this and they want it and they see no hope in this life, people will do desperate things. But what we need to understand as the church and his body, the Lord wants to bring that peace that passes all understanding now. We are ambassadors of his peace. We need to fight in the spirit to bring that to them. Amen. Let's go to the next one. I want to tell you a little bit about the story of Ishmael this morning. Pastor, I'll try to rush through this. All right. Let's go real quickly to Genesis chapter 16. Verses 10 through 12. Perhaps this is the heart of Islam. I want you to understand it real quickly. The angel added, this is a word of the Lord. I will increase your descendants. They will be too numerous to count. This is the angel of the Lord in Genesis 16 speaking to Hagar. The angel of the Lord said to her also, you are now with child and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all of his brothers. If you know the story of Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarai before this, remember they're old. They're both kind of dried up. But God's told them they're going to have a child. And they wait and wait and wait and they don't have a child. So Sarai at that point decides, I'm going to help out God. And don't you know anytime you try to help out God, you make a mess of things? So be careful. Leave it in God's hands. Amen. Wait and trust him. So she decides to help out God. And so she says, here's my maid. And they still actually, Berbers or nomadic people, still live in the desert, often like they lived back then. Abraham and Sarai and Hagar would have been in the same tent, okay? So Hagar's pregnant. Sarah gets, there's this big story. She gets mad. She treats her horribly. Hagar goes out and weeps and cries. And the angel comes to her and says, you're going to have this baby, and he's going to have descendants, and he's going to be great. All right, go to the next one. Who is Ishmael? She gives birth to Ishmael. Hagar, do you know this story? If you don't, go home and read it. You should know this, all right? Ishmael is the son of Abraham and Sarah. He's Abram's, I think if you hit the thing, I think it slides across there. He's Abram's, yes, first son. He is the father of Kedar. You can actually see this in the scripture and also in the Quran, Islamic history. The next one, Kedar is the direct ancestor of Muhammad, the originator of Islam. Therefore, Ishmael is the grandfather of Islam. It's a very interesting time when we need to understand the dynamics of this. Let's go a little farther. So, go on. So, who is Ishmael? He is the first person to be named directly by the angel of the Lord in the scriptures, Genesis 16 and 11. The only other person before this was Adam. Until Adam, no one is named by God. God gives Ishmael his name. while he is not the son of blessing, because Isaac was the promised son. He is the son that's going to receive the inheritance of the house, the firstborn inheritance. But the Lord says he will be the son with a blessing. This is a good word for us to understand too, because we may have children or family that have wandered from the Lord and they have left, they've moved away from the blessing, but the Lord says if we keep praying, they still can receive a blessing. Amen. It's not over till it's over. Praise God. Hallelujah. The promise of God was to Hagar and to Abraham. Now, I think this story is powerful because you all know later on Abraham and Sarah are going to have Isaac, the son of laughter. But remember, Abraham is going to take Isaac up to sacrifice him. Remember? But the Lord sends the ram and Isaac is saved. And we always preach that that was probably Abraham's most difficult moment. But let me challenge you to think about this, and I can't wait to ask God when I get to heaven. Ishmael grows up. Isaac is born. Ishmael's a young boy. Now, he's been living in the tent with his mom and dad and Sarah. And Sarah, he is actually counted as her son, okay? He's played stickball with his dad. They've probably gone hunting together. You know, sons and their fathers. They had life together. But what happens, contention grows in the house because Sarah tried to help God out and creates a problem. So one day, the Lord tells Abraham, yes, Sarah's right. You must remove the son from the house. I believe with all my heart that this was Abraham's final, first and biggest test. One morning he got up. And I think about that, if you have as a dad with children, think about that. You got up, this is the last day you're ever going to see your son. And that's what the scripture says. Abraham never sees Ishmael again. You know, he maybe packed a water skin, packed a little sack lunch, a couple peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Who knows what was in there? But this is his son. And he takes his son, it says, out to the edge of the camp, and he leaves him. He never sees him again. And that's why I think later on he was able to also obey God to take Isaac. Because he's already had to face this test one time. Abraham said, if only Ishmael, Abraham's talking to God. If Ishmael might live under your blessing, then God said yes. But your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants of faith. Let's go to the next one. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. Now this is the grandfather of Islam. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, the child of the free woman, whom Sarah will bear to you this time next year. This is very important for us to understand. He was pushed out of the lineage of covenant blessing, but he was still blessed by God in answer to prayer. Next one. Hagar and Ishmael are cast out of Abram's household in Genesis chapter 21. He has to let them go. This is not just because Sarah is fighting with the handmaid. This is the commandment of God. The woman and the child are sent out into the wilderness. They are dying out there in the wilderness. Hagar, the mother, is convinced her child is going to die. And the scriptures say she literally leaves him over the side to a bush. And she moves away. Read the story. She leaves her son and moves away. And I can understand that as a mother. If I thought my child was going to die and he's there alone, I'm not sure I could bear to watch it. This is a mother's heart crying out. His mother begins to cry out for mercy. And the scripture says, and God hears the boy. The name Ishmael means God hears. God hears. I am convinced with all my heart that this is the cry of the sons of Ishmael. It is the cry of Islam. They are trying to earn a seat at the table. I think, go ahead, the next one. The spirit of Ishmael has created a people with the cry of rejection. Their father rejected them. The spirit of Ishmael has created a people unable to approach God. The spirit of Ishmael has created people that are thirsty to drink from the well of life. He was left out there in the desert, but they are unable to drink because the church, we are not giving the message. We are not giving that fountain of life, that river of life message. The spirit of Ishmael has created a people waiting to be rescued by the angel of the Lord. The spirit of Ishmael has created many people in the church today that have walked away from Ishmael or the spirit of Islam, as his mother did, believing the cause to be hopeless. But we're called to be the voice of one crying out to them in the wilderness. The ones that are in bondage, we are the ones calling, come home to God. Come back to the Father. Amen? In Islam, many of you maybe know the five pillars of faith. Every day they have to pray five times to the Lord, or to Allah, not to the Lord, to God, Allah. They have to give to the poor. They're in their once in their life supposed to make a journey to Mecca. They have all these five tenets of the faith. And even if they do them all, they're not sure that they're going to be able to get in because they don't know if the Father will accept them. Let's go to the last one, I think. They are a fatherless people with no inheritance. The spirit of a servant, and that's what Islam, they discuss that. It's all through their literature, is they have a spirit of a servant. A son is recognized by the DNA. If you do testing, you'll know, Father, if that's your son. They do not believe that they're a servant, a son at all. They believe they are servants of Allah. They only work for him. Islam, the word Islam means the submitted ones. They are trying to earn a seat at the table through works. Islam says God is not a father and has no son. Have you ever seen a picture of Jerusalem and when you see it on the news or wherever, and there's this great big golden dome? Yeah. On that, that's called the Dome of the Rock. On that dome, around the top of that, in Arabic, it says, God is no father and has no son. In Arabic on that. Every time any Muslim looks up and sees that, they see that reading, God is no father and has no son. These are ones that have a whole spirit of slavery. And this is another reason why we're seeing radical jihad. And by the way, it is not the bulk of the population. Do you know this is the first time ever since Islam came on the scene, they now have what is called atheist Muslims? Muslims that have become atheists. They no longer believe in their religion, but they know nothing else. This is the most amazing time for the church to rise up. We need to take care of the household of faith first. For those Christians that are coming into Greece, you need to pray for us that we'll be able to give them a piece of bread. And we don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to be honest. I told this to Pastor Joshua and Jeanette yesterday. We cannot provide housing for everybody. We're in crisis ourselves as a country. We don't even know how to help feed them. But that's with our earthly eyes. But the Lord is saying, and we heard the word today, the word of the Lord, it's harvest time. Yeah. And the Lord is a God of creation and creativity. Yeah. And if we ever believe that God is the God of the miraculous, then this is the hour to believe that God can do things beyond our wildest dreams and expectations. He can enable us to feed those people. He can enable us to give them a hope, even the Christians that have fled for their lives, many of them that have seen their children murdered before their faces. Many of these women, there are more women and children than ever before on the refugee highway. It used to be only men. We now live in a day when women and children are fleeing. And we cannot let them just walk on by and not care.
Yes.
We cannot. And maybe the only thing you can do is pray. But let me ask you this morning, do you pray? When I ask this to people often, many people will later tell me afterwards, you know, it's just over there, and I see it on the news every once in a while, and I don't really think about it. But I think the Lord is asking us, will you allow your heart to break with the things that break my heart? And I believe God's heart, it doesn't only break for his church that's not as strong and as beautiful as he wants it to be. He's wooing us. He's calling us to become adorned with the royal robes of his son and to stand in the beauty and the power of who he is. But he's also wooing us to look at those that live in darkness and walk in darkness and don't even know if they can ever make it to heaven, to be able to tell them there is a father and he has a son.
Amen.
And he knows your name.
Uh-huh.
He knows your name. Amen. And he loves you. I can't change all the politics in the world. In fact, I can't change any of them. I want to be a good citizen. I grew up in America. I pray for this country. But I feel like the Lord is saying to us, and I hope I don't offend anybody, be a good citizen. Love your country. Pray for your country. But above everything else, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God.
Yes, that's right.
You belong to the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord Almighty.
Yes.
Open wide the gates that the King may come in.
Yes.
Open wide the gates of your heart to get the heart of God for little kids that open a closet door and see the body of their father without a head. Let's get a heart to begin to pray, to pour healing into these families, to pour healing into people that some of these people were doctors and lawyers. They had wonderful lives. They've lost everything. First, for our Christian brothers and sisters, that God will take them to a new place. Can you believe our God's big enough? This is not his will, but if it's happened, he can work in what's happened and allow them to be moved to a place that they can be more in contact with Muslims than ever before, and will say to them, yes, I hurt like you hurt. Now let me help you and show you there's an answer. There's someone that will take care of the hurt, because they don't know the one that will take care of the hurt. Amen.
Amen.
God can take our hurting places and heal them so that we can heal someone else that is hurting. Let's be used of the Lord to bind up the brokenhearted, to lift up the hands that hang down, to declare great and mighty is the Lord God Almighty. Amen.
Amen.
This is my desire. I thought about that when you led that today. I hope none of us are lying. I ask myself all the time, this is my desire, Lord, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me. Most of you will never come to this region of the world where I live. But your prayers change things. Your prayers enable people to stay on the foreign field. We need you to get a heart, because you know what? The more you get that heart, the more you'll change your environment right here. People are needing to see the power of God and the love of God that passes all understanding. And guess what? Isn't he the God of the impossible? Isn't he the God of the impossible? Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Before we wrap this up, first of all, our world is bigger than Franklin.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnion was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.